אם תחנה עליי מחנה שלום, אנחנו קוראים בספר.
Hello, we are reading out of the book of Shamati, page 341. Shamati article number 190. Every act leaves an imprint. You can ask questions in kab.tv. Relevant questions will be aired. Shamati book, page 341, item 190. Every act leaves an imprint. He asked, if the redemption of our land from the oppressors is affecting us, we have been rewarded with liberation from the burden of the nations, and have become like all the nations, where one is not enslaved to another. And if that freedom has acted upon us, so that we would have some sensation of the servitude of the Creator, and he said that we should not think that it does not affect us, that no change appears in the servitude from that freedom. This is impossible, since the Creator does not act in vain. Rather, everything he does affects us, for better or for worse. This means that additional power is extended to us from every act that he performs, positive or negative, light or dark. From this act, we can also come to ascend, since there is not always permission and strength in spirituality, as we must continue under this force. Hence, one cannot say that the freedom one has achieved induced no change in him. Yet, if we do not feel any change for the better, then we must say that this is a change for the worse, even though we do not feel. And he explained it after the good day after the Havdalah, the end of holiday blessing. It is like a meal of Shabbat or a good day, where the corporeal pleasures awaken spiritual pleasures by way of root and branch. It is a kind of next world, and certainly tasting from the next world requires great preparations during the 6 days of action. To the extent that one has prepared, so is one's sensation. But without any proper preparation to extend the spiritual taste of Shabbat, it is to the contrary. He grows worse due to the corporeal pleasures. This is so because after corporeal meals, one is only drawn to sleep and nothing more, since after eating comes sleep. Thus, his eating brought him lower. But it requires great exertions to come to spirituality through corporeal pleasures, since this was the king's will. Although they are in contrast, as spirituality is positioned under the line of bestowal and corporeality under reception, and since this was the king's will, hence spirituality is attracted to corporeal pleasures placed under his mitzvot, which are the pleasures of Shabbat and a good day. We should also see that even with this freedom that we have been granted, we need great preparation and intention to extend a spiritual freedom called freedom from the angel of death. Then we would be rewarded with "the whole earth is full of his glory," called Mochin de Abba Ve'ima. This means that we do not see a time or a place where the Creator could not be dressed, that we would not be able to say that He cannot be dressed at that time or at that place, but rather the whole earth is full of His glory. But before that, there is a difference between light and darkness, and between Israel and the nations. In the lit place, the Creator is present, and it is not so in a place of darkness. Also, in Israel, there is a place for the godly light of Israel to be. This is not so in the nations of the world. The Creator does not dress in them. And between the seventh day and the 6 days of action, yet, when we are awarded Mochin de Abba Ve'ima, we are rewarded with "the whole earth is full of His glory." At that time, there is no difference between the times, and His light is present at all the places and all the times. And this is the meaning of Passover, Pesach, when Israel were awarded freedom, meaning Mochin de Abba Ve'ima, considered "the whole earth is full of His glory." Naturally, there is no place for the evil inclination, since it is not distanced by its actions from the work of the God. Quite the contrary, we see how it has brought man to his work, although it was only by the way of an awakening from above. This is why they said that the Holy Divinity says, "I saw the image of a drop of a red rose." It means that he saw that there was a place that still needed correction, that he could not shine in this place. This is why they needed to count the 7 weeks of the Omer count to correct those places, so we would see that the whole earth is full of His glory. It is similar to a king who has a tower filled with goodly matters, but no guests. Hence, he created the people, so they would come and receive His abundance. But we do not see the tower filled with goodly matters. On the contrary, the whole world is filled with suffering. And the excuse is that, "and royal wine in abundance," that from the Malchut's perspective, there is no need for the wine, for the pleasures that are comparable to the wine. Rather, the deficiency is only from the perspective of the kelim, vessels, that we do not have the appropriate vessels to receive the abundance, as it is specifically in the vessels of bestowal that we can receive. The measure of the greatness of the abundance is according to the value of the greatness of the kelim. Hence, all the changes are only in the vessels, not in lights. This is what the text tells us: vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse from one another, and royal wine in abundance, as it was in the thought of creation to do good to His creations according to His ability.
Да. Не знаю, да, я могу.
Don't want to say, the article is it's both in width and also in depth. It's really big.
Не добавил כל פעם קצת. כדי לחזור עליו.
We'll talk about it bit by bit, so maybe we'll repeat it, or it's good to repeat it in a few days, and so on. The question is, it says that before the exodus from Egypt,
Adam b'mem tetsharei tuma,
man is in the 49 gates of impurity, which means that he doesn't believe in anything. He's not anticipating for anything. He sees that he barely has any contact with the higher force, that nothing could change in his life. That what do you mean? There is none else besides him. Everything is under Pharaoh's rule. He can't do anything against his ego that controls him. He has neither the understanding, nor the faith, nor anything else. Good and abundant, what? No such thing. The only thing left is this very small little thread connecting him to something. So little that he can barely see that anything can come out of it. It is a very big despair. And this thread that he's left with is patience, which is really above the mind, above any rationale. And these are things which accumulate bit by bit and reach a state where if you really reach the 49 gates of impurity, then against that, the higher force, the force of redemption is revealed. And this is the place to say that every action leaves an imprint, a bit more and a bit more. That's the calculation of the 400 years in which the whole scrutiny, exertion, even weaknesses accumulate, even where he could overpower or he expected of himself or of the Creator to do. All in all, our entire struggle is what? The struggle over coming out of Egypt. What is it that we have to come out of? Maybe these are good questions for a workshop, but we're all struggling in spirituality. We're all struggling over the rule of the Creator, toward none else besides Him, and good that does good. And against that, what is the klipa, the shell? It erases none else besides Him, and good that does good, in all of its different manners. And so, this enslavement, the exile, as it says that the difference between exile and redemption is the letter Aleph, which is the champion of the world. And we have to, this is the point that we have to always focus ourselves on. And nothing else, meaning here we have to sharpen our scrutiny.
That
none else besides Him, good that does good. This is what we fight for against our nature, which is Pharaoh, where we don't ask from, we don't ask from anything else, from anyone, for our faith to change, but we turn only to Him. That's called none else besides Him, that we rely everything on Him, that there's no one else besides Him, planning all the actions, controlling them, and only in order for us, specifically in this struggle against all the disturbances in which He envelops Himself, will point at Him and head toward Him. That's the exile. Meaning, we're incapable, but really want to discover the source for everything that's going on. And that it is He and not a messenger. This is an extremely important point. Because there is no other work to be done. This is what we have to be ready for.
להחזיק בנקודה הזאת.
To hold on to this point, being very sharply targeted, specifically at that, suppose like a ship that has to all the time be in this one direction, or an airplane that you have to navigate it very precisely, despite all the winds and problems and changes. Disturbances. So this is something possible to do only by a really good crew. It's built that way that a person himself, he can't keep himself. He can't hold himself. He's being tripped. Then there's pity on him. Then he gets another opportunity for what? To build the right team, together with which he holds the right direction. Where they're all the time targeted specifically at that, it all comes from the Creator and not from Pharaoh's cavalry, that there is nothing incidental, there is not even anything like a messenger or a carrier, but it all comes from the Creator and the demand to discover all the other sources operating, acting. This struggle, this demand is our entire work. Here it's the enslavement, here you have the blows, Here you have all the different events that go on, and the whole Egyptian story. Everything is within the struggle to detect the Creator through all the disturbances which exist between us, between us and the Creator. This being the place for disturbances. And when these disturbances, we try to turn them into connection, because to begin with, there's no connection between us and the Creator. We're opposites. These disturbances come specifically in order for us to turn them into a connection. And then we see that Pharaoh, he brings us closer to the Creator. That the evil inclination is helpmate against him, that we turn him into a connection. So when we work this way consistently, the more we try and build the connections, it's like on the ladder of degrees. We rise to a higher connection and we fall into greater disturbance, lack of connection. And again, we try and build Pitom and Ramses, and again we fall into lack of connection and confusion and really into a state where there's no control over the Creator, there's no such thing whatsoever, until through our efforts we reach the 49 gates of impurity. And if we do, if we reach that, it means that we have already corrected a lot. We have corrected a lot for the correction with the Creator on from the other side. But it's hidden from us. For some moment we detect something, but immediately we fall. And all that in order for us to discover all the disturbances and none else besides him. And the disturbances in the Creator. It's the Creator and not a messenger, meaning that the revelation is that it is specifically the Creator, specifically in us being able to identify that force out of all the disturbances, that the entire exile is in order for us to be able to feel it, to find him out of absence, out of nothing. That's how we work. That's how we reach redemption. So, we needn't forget that all of our work toward redemption is in none else besides him over any other disturbances. Where they too, of course, come from none else besides him. This is a very broad article. I don't know how to put it. Bit by bit, well, have to maybe learn it. Don't know how to turn to it. Maybe you can read it again. Passage by passage.
Page 341, Article 190, every act leaves an imprint. He asked, if the redemption of our land from the oppressors is affecting us, we have been rewarded with liberation from the burden of the nations and have become like all the nations where one is not enslaved to another. And if that freedom has acted upon us so that we would have some sensation of the servitude of the Creator.
Again,
he asked,
meaning Baal HaSulam asked,
if the redemption of our land from the oppressors is affecting us. We have been rewarded with the liberation from the burden of the nations.
What does it mean from the burden of the nations? It means that we have matured, we rose atop the disturbances, and as a result of growing strong in these disturbances, meaning by controlling them, we can already reach some kind of contact, understanding, reciprocity with the higher force,
and have become like all the nations, where one is not enslaved to another. And if that freedom has acted upon us, so that we would have some sensation of the servitude of the Creator. And he said that we should not think that it does not affect us, that no change appears in this servitude from that freedom.
This is also something that we've been talking about lately, about redemption and exile, that the lack of the letter Aleph, which you have in exile and which is revealed in the redemption, we formulate, we prepare that deficiency, meaning that I must depict for myself the image of the connection, of my connection with the Creator in exile. It's like the place of deficiency, which later on will be filled by something, but the place of deficiency already gives me the depiction of the future redemption. The deficiency, it starts getting the right form, where I better understand what's supposed to be. I have to detect the redemption, meaning what am I expecting? What does it mean for me to have plenty of everything? Meat, wine, garlic, onions. What is redemption? What does it mean? What is it exactly about? Maybe I'm suffering and I feel exile, beastly exile, or like a plant or like something, but not like a man, like Adam, who wants to be similar to the Creator. So here we have to understand, what does it mean where he says that the entire difference between exile and redemption is in the presence of the Creator? Meaning that I, toward the end of the exile, I have to find, what does it mean that this is the only thing missing? Meaning I already have the impression, I already have some kind of knowledge, of understanding as to what's supposed to reveal. I have to be ready for it. I have to expect it. It's as if I already taste it. What is this redemption supposed to give me? What kind of freedom? Of what angel of death? What is life and death for me where I'm expecting redemption? So we have to all the time scrutinize what am I really lacking versus what am I lacking in the 49 gates of impurity? And he said that we needed not think that it does not affect us, that no change appears in this servitude from that freedom This is impossible, since the Creator does not act in vain. Rather, everything He does affects us for better or for worse, meaning each and every action is registered, or for worse, as if for the worse. That in order for us to be impressed by it, we have to have it both in the positive and negative sensation, both in the positive understanding and lack of understanding, which is negative, and also determining it with respect to our goal. Is it right or wrong, positive or negative, meaning good or bad, has many discernments. This means that additional power is extended to us from every act that He performs, positive or negative, light or dark. From this act, we can also come to ascend, and we get further strength, meaning we get more and more discernments. Since there is not always permission and strength in spirituality, read please.
Since there is not always permission and strength in spirituality, as we must continue under this force. Hence, one cannot say that the freedom one has achieved induced no change in him. Yet, if we do not feel any change for the better, then we must say that this is a change for the worse, even though we do not feel. And he explained it, after a good day, after the Havdalah, the end of the holiday blessing, it is like a meal of Shabbat or a good day, where the corporeal pleasures awaken.
The corporeal pleasures, meaning it's not what we eat. Corporeal pleasures, try and decipher it, or commentate it as what we still receive and where to receive.
Where the corporeal pleasures awaken spiritual pleasures by way of root and branch. It is a kind of next world. And certainly, tasting from the next world requires great preparations during the 6 days of actions. To the extent that one has prepared, so is one's sensation.
Meaning that from the dark, one can somehow depict for himself what the light is.
But without any proper preparation to extend the spiritual taste of Shabbat, it is to the contrary. He grows worse due to the corporeal pleasures.
But again, it nevertheless brings him to closer to the spiritual discernment of Shabbat, where he tries to keep the laws called Shabbat. I'm not talking about corporeality, I'm talking about a person's internality. Even though that he can't, he nonetheless depicts for himself what do all of these pleasures mean in spirituality.
This is so because after corporeal meals, one is only drawn to sleep and nothing more. Since after eating comes sleep, thus his eating brought him lower. But it requires great exertions to come to spirituality through corporeal pleasures, since this was the king's will, although they are in contrast.
Because it's lo lishma, so what? He nonetheless tries to keep something, even though that maybe he does not acknowledge that it's not lishma, but he comes closer to lishma. And all the work is in the preparation for the very opposite, for what was before.
Although they are in contrast, as spirituality is positioned under the line of bestowal, and corporeality under the reception. And since this was the king's will, hence spirituality is attracted to corporeal pleasures, placed under his mitzvot, which are the pleasures of Shabbat and a good day.
Meaning, I'm warning you again, we're not talking about any kind of foods or sleep at Shabbat or any other actions which our beast takes. We're talking about actions that a person still can't perform in order to bestow, and therefore to perform them in order to receive. It can also be that maybe he doesn't know that it's in order to receive or bestow, but he performs scrutinies, and then he discovers that these scrutinies, they are corporeal in the will to receive.
We should also see that even with this freedom that we have granted, we have been granted, we need great preparation and intention to extend the spiritual freedom called freedom from the angel of death. Then we would be rewarded with the whole earth is full of his glory.
The angel of death is called in order to receive, where all the actions of in order to receive that he separates from the Creator is called death, which is called in order to bestow.
Then we would be rewarded with the whole earth is full of his glory, called Mochin de Abba Ve'ima. This means that we would not see a time or a place where the Creator could not be dressed, that we would not be able to say that he cannot be dressed at that time or at that place.
Meaning he starts discovering the Creator in any realm in life,
but rather the whole earth is full of his glory. But before that, there is a difference between light and darkness, and between Israel and the nations. In the lit place, the Creator is present, and it is not so in a place of darkness.
Here he already divides himself into a part that can, or times, or discernments, and parts in which he can face the Creator, meaning find him in the form of bestowal and be adapted to him, or on a part in which he can't. And this is how he divides himself into Israel and the nations of the world. Here the Creator rules, here other forces, the opposite forces rule. And
also in Israel, there is a place for the godly light of Israel to be. This is not so in the nations of the world. The Creator does not dress in them.
It's really clear for him how he is divided into these two parts.
And between the seventh day and the 6 days of action, yet, when we are awarded Mochin de Abba Ve'ima,
which is the complete revelation of the Creator in all the desires,
we are rewarded with the whole earth is full of his glory. At that time, there is no difference between the times, and his light is present at all the places and at all the times. And this is the meaning of Pesach, Passover, when Israel were awarded freedom, meaning Mochin de Abba Ve'ima, considered the whole earth is full of his glory.
But surely before that you have to prepare the deficiency and the prayer and the cry and to exactly find what is the redemption, what is the form of redemption, where only then will he be able to feel it. Therefore the 49 gates of impurity, it's a very big degree. Being prepared for the revelation of the Creator. And of course, against every degree of impurity, he has to attain holiness. Meaning, one gate in impurity, two in impurity, through here, three there, and so on, right, left, and he constantly aspires for the right and falls into the left until he reaches the 49 degrees, meaning that his whole desire, besides the 50th gate that he is incapable of, this we already know, that we're correcting only part of it. And what does it mean, the 50th gate? How do we find it? Because in each and every state there is a part of the 50th gate. And how do we arrange these vessels in order for it to burst out?
Naturally, there is no place for the evil inclination, since it is not distanced by its actions from the work of God. Quite the contrary, we see how it has brought man to his work.
It is specifically that which brought him closer,
although it was only by way of an awakening from above. This is why they said that the Holy Divinity says, "I saw the image of a drop of the red rose."
Which are the dinim, the judgments, the red rose, full of judgments, which he went through, overcame them, and then he reaches the 49 gates of impurity and is ready for redemption.
It means that he saw that there was a place that still needed correction, that he could not shine in this place. This is why they needed to count the 7 weeks of the Omer count to correct those places, so we would see that the whole earth is full of His glory.
And this is actually what they're fighting for all the time. The rule of the Creator instead of the self-control or the control of the world. In short, instead of the rule of Pharaoh.
It is similar to a king who has a tower filled with goodly matters, but no guests. Hence, he created the people, so they would come and receive his abundance. But we do not see the tower filled with goodly matters. On the contrary, the whole world is filled with suffering, and the excuse is that, and royal wine in abundance, that from Malchut's perspective there is no need for the wine, for the pleasures that are comparable to the wine. Rather, the deficiency is only from the perspective of the kelim, vessels, that we do not have the appropriate vessels to receive the abundance, as it is specifically in the vessels of bestowal that we can receive. The measure of the greatness of the abundance is according to the value of the greatness of the kelim. Hence, all the changes are only in the vessels, not in the lights. This is what the text tells us. Vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse from one another, and royal wine in abundance, as it was in the thought of creation, to do good to His creations according to His ability.
Where the whole pleasure is in the revelation of none else beside Him.
To
have a workshop or questions and answers, what do you say? Who's for a workshop? And who's for questions? I see you're tired. Okay, questions then. Yes?
He writes that by the corporeal pleasures you will come to spirituality, because this was the king's will. How do we use corporeal pleasures to reach spirituality? What does this mean?
It means that I'm trying to do different things, different acts of bestowal toward friends or dissemination towards others. And then, when I want to do them only in order to bestow without getting anything in reward, I find out that I enjoy them, and only on condition that I enjoy them, I can do them. Meaning that I don't have some engine, some perpetuum mobile, that gives me the strength to simply carry out actions, that even if I do this with my hand, I have to burn calories, I have to burn energy. Where does it come from? It comes as a result of me having to receive pleasure. I have to receive something. To simply bestow, I can't. The Creator is the source of energy. I'm not. If I do something, I have to get something in reward, and it has to be worthwhile, that it's something that in my mind, in my heart, in my brain, according to my computer, I see that it is worthwhile. So in all the actions which I do, in dissemination, studying, and strengthening the group, in all these things which I do, I find out that I'm working for my own benefit, that I'm incapable of being the provider of energy. I simply can't. I always have to depict some kind of benefit that I get as a result. That's called corporeality. And then it becomes clear to me that I'm opposite to the Creator. It's clear to me that I perform actions of bestowal for myself. It's clear to me that I'm like Pharaoh here, that I use the children of Israel, meaning the actions of bestowal, in order to enjoy. Pharaoh, he really enjoys Israel working for him. It's worthwhile for him to keep these slaves. They do things as if in order to bestow, but the ego, Pharaoh, Pharaoh receives it for himself. What could be better? And the will to receive, without any act of bestowal, where it simply works in order to receive, that's called a beast, like animals and beasts working directly. I do things and enjoy them. That's it. I always calculate, what does this cost? What do I get? What do I pay for each and every pleasure? That's called a beast. The enslavement of Egypt, it means that I already want to get closer to the Creator, and therefore I enter this kind of period where I take actions of bestowal, I connect with the friends, as if make our food with them, I act in dissemination, I do plenty of things, plenty. I invest my whole life into it, and every time I discover that it is all in my own favor. At the end, I discover that I don't want for it to be in my own favor, but I simply can't. Otherwise, I can't work. Then we fall in terms of, I have no energy to sustain myself. I lay this way. I have no strength to move. I don't. You can kill me, but I simply don't. Then you start discovering how you are incapable of working without a reward. So how do you take an action of bestowal? If the group shows you, if society shows you the importance of an act of bestowal, and you see that you can't, then you feel the enslavement. And accordingly, the struggle begins. You come closer to the blows. That you, as the point of Moshe, are interested for your desire to get blows. That by doing so, you can disconnect from him. It's still hard to understand. I feel that it's still... But we'll come closer to it.
צריכים בירורים.
There's need for scrutinies. You need efforts.
כן.
Yes.
Evgeny from Germany is asking, what does it mean to control the disturbances that come to a man?
To control the disturbances coming to a person is at least to find that any disturbance in life comes from none else beside him. From everything else that there is. From anything, everything else. It's not called that you have to forgive everyone. It doesn't mean that you have to agree with everything. You have to respond. Respond. If it's in corporeality, then you have a set the Shulchan Aruch. If it's in spirituality, you have a different Shulchan Aruch. It's a spiritual one. It only depends on how you open it up. But that's how you respond to none else besides him, yes?
John from Chicago is asking, what does the ability of a person depend on for being patient on this path?
Preparation. That I know that the next moment I can get such a, how to call it, interchange, upgrade in myself, emotionally wise, and also in my intellect, in my mind, that I'm not responsible for myself. I don't know what, the next moment I can go mad, or the next moment I can be a genius, or I can be like Rabbi Akiva. Me is not me. I'm a hardware, a computer hardware, that you can, with one push of a button, you can change it from one end to the other. And so, inside myself, I can't prepare anything. I can't. But only the environment. The Creator gave me the ability to control my future. Future is any next moment by the environment. Meaning, if I want to know who will I be in a moment, I can look at the environment, I can look at my attitude toward them, at the obligations between us, and then I can say, my next state will be at least like this and like that. Because on behalf of the higher light, I'm always being raised. I discover more evil, so I can advance. And then, according to my connection with the environment, I can somehow be sure that every moment I will keep myself. They'll protect me, in short. And this is how I'll progress. Therefore, I can't turn to the Creator if I do not set, if I don't make a pact, a covenant with the environment. And therefore, within my nation, I dwell within my nation. Therefore, if you didn't prepare yourself, the only thing that you'll get from the Creator is additional ego, more disturbances. So there's nothing to expect of Him. If you prepared this, thing to lean on, correspondingly you can develop the right deficiency, meaning against, through the evil that the Creator prepares for you, through the environment, they're asking of the environment, you can invert it to good. And this is how you work all the time. Me, the environment, the Creator, and again.
Scott from England is asking, how can a person truly want his ego to suffer?
Look, Moses is not asking for Pharaoh to get blows. He's only complaining about how to disconnect from him. And Also, it's not that he himself wants to disconnect, but it's the Creator that tells him, go to Pharaoh and demand. There's the combination of several things here which you discover. On his own behalf, a person, he discovers that he only has one big zero, both on the right and also the left. These two sides he gets from above, both the vessels and also the strength to work on them. Everything is from above. Yes, please. Not Yuval, but behind you there.
What request should I have, and what demand or request should I be in? Is it to exit Egypt, just as we are ordered every day, or to be the force of Moshe? What request should I have in order to go through this process quickly and easily?
According to what I'll tell you now, you'll fill an application or what?
It's clear this is a process, right?
What do you mean by process? What is a plea?
The plea is
the deficiency of the heart. So what will it give you if I'll tell you that in the depth of your heart you have to want this and that?
It's a process that is going and being constructed, certainly.
Good. Therefore, no point in asking what want, plea should there be. You work on the deficiency for transcending where you are at each and every point. And then you'll reach a state that this will be the right request, the right deficiency. Right deficiency, meaning who exactly and what are you turning to and what are you expecting? All these things have to stabilize in a person. A plea, it means the, let's call it, state, a complex state, your inner state, in short. From all these configurations which you have, all the desires, yearnings, exertions, and so on and so forth, all in all, what's revealed to you is something over which you get an answer, because the something is already as the image of the Creator that has to come and fill the place, fill the deficiency.
You constantly teach us to think of the next step, the next degree. When I am in this framework of deficiency, I want to feel the process of the exodus from Egypt. I want to go through and I want to be in the next degree, meaning exiting Egypt. And I have this plea to go through this process as quick as possible.
It's true, but what process and what does it mean to come out? These things, they have to be more and more scrutinized. What exactly is Egypt called? What exactly is the exodus from Egypt called? With respect to me now, maybe it's the worst thing that I least want, for me to work without anything in return for myself, with no benefit for myself, only for the sake of others, that I'll see nothing but only for this to fill me and for this to only give, I only need the strength for it, nothing besides that. That's called in order to bestow, not in order to get a reward. And more such things. This is what we really aspire for. This is the state that I want to reach. That's called the exodus from Egypt. That the will to receive will not control me whatsoever, neither in mind or heart or intention or anything. Am I already yearning for it? Meaning, I have to work bit by bit. Bit by bit, meaning gradually, until the higher light affects me so that this is what I want. Really? That's crazy, but this is what I want.
Kid.
Yes.
Microphone.
Microphone.
You said in the beginning of the lesson that holding on to this point of there is none else besides him requires a good and qualified crew, like in a ship that has to stay steady against all the storms and winds. Can you describe how such a crew is stabilized, how it is
by the reforming light in the work in which, as much as you can, you give yourself over. And the light arranges them.
Also the
roles, everything, eventually fills a part in this mosaic.
And the ability to work together, where does it come from?
Comes from above. Everything is done by the light. Nothing comes from themselves.
And how do they know they're on the right course?
In devotion to one another, being adapted to the light as much as possible.
Thank you. Benzi. For instance, you just said that everything depends on the light and everything is because of the light.
Changes can't come from any other place.
Why does he say this center, all changes are only in the vessels and not the light? And this is a conclusion in the end of the article. What does it mean, at the time of exile, all the changes are in the vessels and not in the lights?
In exile and not in exile. Exile is with respect to me. If we're talking about creation in general, then what changes are there in the light? How could it be? The light operates all the time. Special pressure on the desire of existence from absence. This special pressure is called love. Created the desire and pushes it. Wants to give it, wants to reveal himself to it, wants to take care of it. It's a pressure like a mom that feels her love toward her baby. It's a kind of a pressure on him. It's her attitude, relation toward him. This is what the light does. Now, on behalf of the desire, by the pressure of the light of the ima, there is a development, corporeal development, meaning that the desire starts feeling itself, processing itself, and so on. And later on, the spiritual development, emotional development, as a response to mother, to use mother as much as possible, or even come closer to her and respond to her and also become like her, and so on. So, on behalf of the mother, it is utter love. There are no changes. The desires, as a result of being broken, as a result of being opposite, as a result of being complex, can organize himself so that he will give a response that he will want from himself. He'll want himself to come closer to the mother, specifically because he's in a broken state where he has the ability to do something himself. The shattering gave us an opportunity, the possibility to take an action toward the Creator. And this is what we're talking about. Now, the broken desire, it has different layers. They're such that can't awaken themselves. They're those that can't awaken at all. And even in, unless you really carry them, there are those that need some kind of a support. There are those that can participate in something. There are those that want to come closer and be close to the mother, have some kind of response. And there are those that for them it's everything. There are these and there are those. Layers in the will to receive. But all in all, this entire desire has to arrange itself to take actions in return, to give feedback of itself. That's called... This inclination is called Yashar Kel. You have to connect everyone to this inclination, but who connects them? They have an urge. They are at those that have the urge, those that are at the top of the process. And this is how we work. This is what we learn. We're learning how to do it, on what conditions. The Kabbalists, they tell us how to respond to it. But on behalf of the mother, on behalf of the light, the pressure is constant. It doesn't change. But the changes in us, they seem to us as changes from the outside, but it is all on the inside, inside me. Also the perception of reality, everything. So that we pray to the Creator, so what? I pray and I wait. I prayed and now soon the response will come. It all depends on my desire. The higher force is everywhere. If the desire is ready, it happens. If it not, it doesn't. Everything is in the desire. I have no one to pray for, in short. In other words, I have no one to pray for. If he's all good, then what will I ask of him? So therefore, the request is to pray, to change himself. And that's it. We turn to him as if he exists this way, that he waits and expects and anticipates, but that's how we talk. But truly, the absolute, the good that does good, there's someone to turn to. If to begin with, you're facing an infinite provider that, to begin with, has utter love toward you. So there's no one to turn to. It all depends on our kelim.
So what is the right approach to exile? You said that exile, there's no aleph, someone turned off the light.
If you reach a state that darkness, that the exile is darkness, and you're lacking the quality of bestowal, utter love, love another as thyself, and so on, then it's called that it's exile, that this is your exile, that you don't have the ability to love another.
So you start from the kli or from there is none else besides him? Where do you begin when working?
None else besides him. It only tells you that it's all up to you. Everything starts and ends with you. It's not that I all the time have to think about the Creator. So who's the Creator? Is it some kind of, I don't know, some post office that has to send you something? The Creator is the quality of bestowal which stands and takes care of you loyally each and every moment. It's like a Polish mom. You can sit on her head, she nonetheless loves you. Whatever you do, she loves you, and that's that. She has no other form. So this kind of mom I get all these blows from. You don't get any blows from her. You feel her attitude, her love, as blows. It's like a child who says, I'm fed up with it, that she's all the time taking care of me. It's like suffocating love.
But these are not blows, these are chassadim. the Creator, we need to define as the good and benevolent, constant, existing force, so that only with respect to Him, with respect to the complete light, we exist. Then you understand that only you have to change. So how do I change? Where am I here? What can I change? What can I do with myself? Where am I changing something within me? I can take a screwdriver now and start tuning parts, potentiometers, something within to do something within my inner scheme. What can I do? So you have an environment. Hence, there is the breaking. So that if you arrange your relationships with the environment, with the others, with everyone, accordingly, you are changing towards the light. The light affects you immediately. It is in every place. All the changes are between you and the environment. You yourself cannot do anything. However, the moment you are coming closer to the environment and start with respect to them, building the relationships similar to the light, then from within the light, or due to the light, you begin to change. And this is the whole Torah. We need more and more to imagine those states. Obviously, each and every time will come a new state and will be erased. The previous state will be erased. However, this is how we are advancing.
No.
Well,
if all the changes are done by the environment that a person builds for himself, so what does Pharaoh rule? What does Pharaoh rule? He controls what?
Pharaoh is all the mind and heart of mine. Currently, this is Pharaoh. This is Pharaoh. I don't feel my heart or my mind as free from him. A wish, I will discover that it is the Pharaoh's governance. Yes?
So my whole life is Pharaoh controlling me.
I don't know if you discover like that, if you see it as such. I didn't discover that, didn't reveal that. I don't know. My life is all that I had, all that is now. Is it all the control of Pharaoh, meaning within my body there's kind of a spirit? Everywhere, when I'm looking at myself, right? I'm truly full from within kind of a spirit, and it moves me, and it determines what am I thinking, and how do I decide, and what will I do, and what will I desire, and all that is kind of a inner force that permeates me and rules me. And I cannot get rid of it. It's kind of and also I determined that it is a bad force. So I'm entirely filled up with this alien force and I'm incapable of getting rid of it. How do I uproot it? How do I extract it out of myself? Is that how you're feeling? That this is your whole life is Pharaoh? Yes? Only one point you've got, the point of criticism, from which you're determining that you are in the slavery of Pharaoh, in the slavery of the evil inclination. Yes.
I feel that I'm under a complete control of my own mind and emotion.
Complete governance of what?
My mind and emotion.
Yours? Yes, so you're not in Egypt. You're perfectly right. You are like that. Like everyone. Like everyone throughout the world. Meaning you have not yet discovered that there is a governance, alien governance, that rules you. You haven't discovered. We are all 7 billion people over Earth, like ants, right? Are wandering, roaming the Earth. And this is kind of an experiment, how to say it? Experiment of some star out there, and we are hypnotized by them, right? And they are arranging us, right? Leading us, right? We aren't feeling that it is so. Everyone thinks he's free, that he's fine, right? And gradually, we begin to discover that we are under external or alien influence. Well, you have not yet discovered. Fine, there are those who do discover.
It's not clear what it means that Pharaoh is governing you.
That you feel that you disagree with the spirit that is within you.
So what do you agree to?
You don't want to agree to what you have. You want it to have a different spirit. Spirit of bestowal, of love, of giving, of something. Not what I have now. Yes. Where does it come from? It comes. I don't know where from. By me participating in the studying and something, there's such change come up, and I begin to appreciate a different quality that is not in me, that I begin to desire it. Initially, I desire it because I'll feel good in it. I'll feel better, more complete, more whole. Later on, I begin in general to appreciate it. That I want. I specifically want to be in the quality of bestowal. What's in it? Freedom. No pressure. I'm not feeling limitation. I'm not feeling limitations of this world. It's worthwhile. It's so good and nice, like that's floating or something. Well, that's in the beginning. Then later, gradually, I come closer to some ideal. There are ideals. There are such things that I want. Why do you want? Well, I want. It is called chen, the beauty of sanctity. It comes and that's it. He wants. I like it. What is there to like? What do you need? It's all opposite to this world. But I feel like it. You cannot explain it. Moreover, you begin to see your quality of reception also is very weird. It is very weird to receive, to enjoy, as if you begin to criticize this quality and think, all in all, it's a software that is in me. This is how I was made. But as a matter of fact, I was given such sensation within my system that I enjoy it. And indeed, I was only given it. They can turn it around and I won't enjoy receiving it. Meaning you start relating relatively to reception and bestowal. That it is not you, rather there is such software and there is another software. And you can change, turn it around. You can get from out of one into the other one. Yes?
Can there be the governance of the Creator before a person is in the recognition that he is under the governance of Pharaoh?
At times, for short times, yes.
So also during the governance of the creator of Pharaoh, there are moments where you identify it, but it doesn't really help you.
No, this is just talking. We need to work more. And once more, the environment and I, nothing but that. All right, we're moving to the next part. Zohar for all.
Moving on to the next part of the lesson.